You're listening to the Living Inside Out podcast, and I'm your host, Tox Aroturu. This is episode 89. Welcome to the Living Inside Out podcast, where we believe the mind is the engine room of our lives. Episode 89 is The Intuitive Entrepreneur. Hey, happy Easter. I am certain you're not listening to this on Easter Day, Sunday or Monday, but I am recording it at Easter time. So happy Easter. Well, I hope you had a wonderful Easter, which is the time when we celebrate and remember the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I can't help but think back to Easter as a child. As a child growing up in Benin, I recall church. That was a major part of Easter. Food, major part. Visitors coming in, major part. I think celebrations in Nigeria are always memorable. You know, we don't play with the days, the religious days, and that's both Christian and Muslim. And so I have fond memories. I remember one time I had this dress that my mom had bought me. So she had bought a mommy and me dress. So she had hers and I had mine, which I thought was absolutely innovative and very special. I was probably 7 or 8. And I was excited to have a grown-up looking dress. It had pleats on it. It was a crepe dress. Mine was orange and cream, and mommy's was, I think it was all cream, but it was identical dresses, a little girl's version and a grown-up version. I was tripped by this dress. And finally, I got the opportunity to wear it at Easter time. Mommy called it a wash and wear dress, i.e. it didn't need ironing. Well, the ironing was normally done during the week, and this was now Sunday morning and the ironing person wasn't around, so I insisted on ironing it. Mommy said, it's wash and wear, you don't need to iron it. But I wanted it to be perfect. There was nothing wrong with that dress. Okay, but I just wanted it perfect. So off I go. Never ironed in my life before. I turned the iron on and I put the iron on the dress. I started off with a back and ended with a back. Because when I lifted the iron up in an attempt to move it back and forth, the entire back came away with the iron, in the shape of the iron. It burned. I was horrified, mortified. All the fights, I was just in a state. It was a double one for me, because on the one hand, I'm in big trouble. I disobeyed mom. I went and I ironed. Number two, I burned the dress. Okay, in fact, there were three things. And then number three was, now my beloved dress was gone. Well, guess what I did? I wore it like that because I was too scared. I didn't want my mom to see it. I just could not bear it. And I also really wanted the dress. I wanted the pleats, you see. I didn't have anything like that. I wore it like that, and I wore a little cardigan over it or something, and got away with it for a short period of time, and must have got the telling off of my life. I don't remember, but I do remember the pain of just losing and not having that dress being perfect. So what have you been up to? How has your week been? If you listen on Spotify and you saw that I had posted episode 88 and it didn't show up on Spotify, I sincerely apologize. I did not realize that Spotify had a specific type of file that it wouldn't accept. And that's because we've made some changes to the podcast production. The file came out in a different format. So sincere apologies. It's going to show up. It just wouldn't show up. It just didn't show up last week when it should have, and you'd end up getting two episodes instead of one. But I hope you have been great. I have been spending the last week kind of going back into life following my holiday. I think I spent week one acting like a bride walking down the altar to meet a groom that she despised. That was week one for me after I came back from Nigeria, because I was just Lagos this and Lagos that everywhere I went, and I was still feeling the buzz, and I am still feeling the buzz. But I want to confess to you that in addition to still being all hyped up about Lagos and about Nigeria and about speaking in Nigeria, I also I'm feeling a bit of pressure from being in the UK. So I've got outlet on one end and I've got pressure on the other, so bear with me. I met up with a friend of mine. I was in conversation with a friend and we were talking about intuition. And he was saying to me, we were just talking about how we deal with individuals and situations and how we kind of gauge the person that we're dealing with ahead of time. How do we know that the person we're speaking to, whether it's business or personal, whether they are right for us? How can we tell when somebody has ulterior motives before they actually get one up on us? And I said to him that I think because of the fact that I'm a woman, I'm quite intuitive. And I know that a lot of women are intuitive. We just feel something. One example I shared was when I was in a friendship with a lady. I could not put my finger on what it was, but I just know that there was just something about her that made me feel very guarded around her. And years later, I turned out to be right. Actually, it wasn't even years, it was within a year. Turned out to be right. And what that did for me was I didn't end the relationship, but I redefined it. I've got an episode called Toxic Friendships, where I talk about the different types of friendships that are toxic. And what's to note is that it's not necessarily the person that is always toxic. Sometimes it's the relationship and it's the combination of you and the other person that makes it toxic. So I'd leave the details of that in the show notes. But intuition has played a very vital part in my journey personally as well as in business. I feel that I don't rely on it as much as I should, and sometimes I confess that I am torn between, am I being, a logical, sensible businesswoman slash leader, or am I being an intuitive one, and is one better than the other? So there is this constant pull between trusting your intuition, which isn't always logical, because when you trust your intuition or you trust your gut, you're doing so without any physical evidence that what you're trusting in makes sense. And oftentimes there isn't anyone around you that also feels the same way that you do. So it can be risky and it feels risky, but it certainly should not be ignored. As a teenager and well into my 20s, I knew nothing about half sizes because I'd always only heard about size 3 and 4 and 5 and 6. I thought shoe sizes always came in whole numbers because that's all I saw. So I thought I was a 7, but then 7s were too tight for me a lot of time. And then the sales girls will say to me, "Oh, you just need to break into them. It's leather. You just need to wear it around and break in." And I'd stuff my foot in there and accept that the tightness was normal. Sometimes it would be so unbearable that I'd have to go up a size to an 8, which was almost always too loose. And then I'd stuff cotton wool down the front. I remember when I purchased my first pair of Mary Jane shoes. They were Doc Martens. I was in love with the Mary Jane style forever, and I wanted Doc Martens because they lasted long and I loved the chunky feel that they had. It was burgundy. I loved and loathed that pair of shoes because they were meant to be an investment piece for a teenager that was barely employed, and yet they did not fit well. I got mine in an 8. I had cotton wool down the front, and it wasn't good enough because the cotton wool then pushed my feet away from the curve so that you can almost start to see my toes. It just was wrong. It was all wrong. And it wasn't until someone suggested going to Clark's Shoes to measure my feet that I discovered, hey, that I was actually a 7.5. So these days, I find that I'm able to lean more into my intuition and trust that if it isn't working for me, then it's not for me. I no longer force fit my preferences to suit what society expects or what the status quo is. Tell me about you. Do you do the same? How do you know when something is for you, even if everything else around you is telling you that it's not, or vice versa? When it comes to employing staff, I've had to use my intuition too. And I'm talking from the first point of contact when you're doing the interviews, right through to the end of the interview, beyond the interview, if you decide to hire them, everything. You've got to learn to use your intuition as well as the information that's put in front of you in form of a resume or an actual interview. But I've had moments where I've tried to override my intuition because what it's telling me is not what I want to hear. It's telling me this person looks good on paper, but she's going to cause problems with the rest of the staff. But I really want everything that her resume represents, and I want everything that she appears to represent. But my intuition is telling me that she's going to be troublesome. And I've had times when during interviews, I've asked a very weird random question. And honestly, this is just my intuition working. It's not even a question that I would have pre-planned to ask, right? Then I ask the question and a can of worms opens up. And I'm so glad because it reveals a lot. But this overriding of intuition then, I think there's more to it than just wanting the answer to be correct. Sometimes it shows up when there is a discomfort with you having to reject a person, you know, or accept that you could be wrong. And it becomes a battle between, should I go with my intuition and therefore show myself as not reliable or not smart enough or whatever lie the mind chooses to absorb? Or should I ignore my intuition and feel good about my decision and feel good that I know what time it is? Because a lot of times we're fighting with ourselves. We're fighting. Big me is fighting with little me. Little me is the part of you that is driven by ego. Big you is a part of you that's driven by your spirit, which is one with God. So these days, you know, I'm more, hey, intuition, I lean more into it. And I don't do so with a fear that I may come across as being whack or weird or silly. When I set out on my journey as a transformational speaker, I asked myself one question: what do you really want? Not what can you tolerate? Because when I think about my life leading up until now, I can see that there's been so much tolerating going on. And tolerating means that I'm forcing myself to accept a reality that I don't want, because I trust the fact that it's here more than what I want it to be. So and this is for you as well, obviously, is if you find yourself force-feeding your lifestyle, your job, and a relationship, anything at all, you're force-feeding it into your life, force-feeding it into your mind, force-feeding it to be accepted, then you need to stop, because what you're doing is trying to stuff your foot into a size 7 when really you're a 7.5, and you're accepting the explanation of the sales staff and what you've always seen, i.e. there's only ever been 7s around you and 8s but no halves. Just because something is logical and everyone accepts it as reality or truth does not mean that you've also got to accept it. I want you to practice trusting your intuition just a little bit more. At the very least, start to inspect it and observe and watch, even if it's from a distance. Don't just accept that what is normal, quote unquote normal, is the way that it should go, that you should go. I love aging. One of the benefits of getting older is the courage to just be me. But you don't have to get older to get a hold of that courage either. You can start even tomorrow when you're driving and you're looking for a parking spot. Use your intuition to allow your intuition to lead you to where a potential spot might be. Don't know if you do that at all. And you're in the shopping mall and you've been driving around and you just kind of feel like, I feel like someone's going to come out of the mall and jump into their car around this area. And you hang around. The number of times I've done that and I hang around and within minutes somebody does come pull out and I'm able to park. Even taking the train, just anything at all, your everyday life, just start to key in more and allow your gut to speak to you, allow your spirit to speak to you. I have discovered that doing what we really want, as opposed to force-feeding ourselves into a box that circumstances have created, is incredibly liberating. It releases a power that infuses you with joy and certainty that you are definitely in the right place. For example, this Easter on the Baby Cut Shop Instagram, I put a post up for Easter, and I think it's the first time that I've been very blatant and bold in my Easter message to the Baby Cut Shop followers. If you've been listening to especially the last few episodes, I've made references to sort of having a different personality when it comes to running my business. So I'm Tux Arutire. On my personal page, you're getting the complete and full Tux. On the Baby Cut Shop, you barely see me at all. And it's because I've erroneously believed that I need to be presenting myself in a certain way to the audience that shop with me because it's business. But I've grown. And I've had the blessing of being in Nigeria for 2 weeks and all of that is gone. So my Easter message on the Baby Cut Shop was a very personal one. One that said, "He is reason, happy Easter, the Baby Cut Shop." That was the graphic, and the post was about love and pain, I think. I can't even remember what I wrote, but normally I wouldn't do that. And it felt right for me to do so. Because every time that you go with your intuition and you choose to be authentic, you're gifting the people in your space a gift that they've never had before, because they're connecting with a true version of yourself. And there's only one version of you. There's only one you. So when you're being authentic and when you're bold enough to release who you are by following your intuition and doing what you really want to do, people get to meet the real you. And they are blessed because of that. You know, every day we're being offered new ways of doing things, 10 things successful people do every morning, 5 nightly hacks to 10x your business, and what are you doing or what you are doing that's hurting your personal brand. And there are all of these tips, and I don't know about you, I see so many of them these days that I've stopped reading them. I don't even want to read the headline, because the fact that these bits of information are out there multiple times over means that it is working for some people, and it might be true, but how many of them are you actually going to be able to successfully carry out? You know, how many 10 tips am I going to read and do? Even one lot of 10 tips is plenty. Can I do it all, and can I sustain it and be consistent in it? I don't think so. So the solution for me is to live from my inside out and do what is common or unique or what's coming naturally to me. And it takes courage, because following your intuition is going to get you into a space that you would probably be the only one there. And being alone in this big old world is not very comfortable. When you find yourself taking action in a way that nobody else does, especially when it comes to business, it can be very unnerving. And there's so many options out there for us, and so many suggestions calling out to us day in, day out. I think that it makes sense for us to quieten the noise around us so we're not exhausted trying to evolve at the rate that all of these tried and tested methods are evolving, and instead start to listen from within to do what comes naturally for us. It might be unconventional, just like a size 7.5, which, by the way, Clarks, Ralph Lauren, I think Michael Kors, and one or two other brands, Geox or Geox, I don't know how it's pronounced, Geox, they do 7.5s, but not many other brands do. Sold by only a few. But if it fits like a glove, then it's absolutely worth it. I want to thank you for listening to episode 89 of Living Inside Out. I don't take it for granted that you will spend 22 minutes and 41 seconds listening to me. I do appreciate it. I thank you for sharing. If you haven't yet given us a 5-star rating, please do. There's going to be some amazing changes coming up over the next few weeks, so stay connected with me on social media. And if you haven't signed up to receive my newsletter, you really want to do that. The other thing I want to mention is I'm going to be running a PR workshop soon. I don't have a date, but I'm accepting signups now. So if you're interested, this is for entrepreneurs or anyone who has a personal brand that they want to build or elevate. It's going to be really good. I've had a ton of press for my business and my personal brand over the years. I just had a photo shoot 3 days ago with my best friend that's going in a major newspaper, a major magazine, national magazine. So I've had a lot of press, and I would say 80% of the press I've got it myself. And the rest of it was for the period, the short period I had at PR agents, where I learned everything there was to learn. So I want to encourage you to send an email to pa@talksarutere.com if you are interested in joining in this PR workshop. There's a cost involved, but once we've got all your details and everything has been ironed out with the dates and so on, we'll let you know. The other thing is you can always download Write Your Rockstar Story by heading to my website, talksarutere.com. I'll leave a link in the show notes to the exact page, so you can purchase the on-demand version of that, which is a 2-hour workshop, and you can do that at your own pace. If you want a little bit more than the DIY, then there is also the next level up, and there is a third level where I work directly with you to rewrite your story. writing your story and owning your story is one of the most powerful and uplifting things you can do for yourself and for your personal brand. That was what I did that changed the trajectory of my life. If you haven't heard my TEDx talk, then you want to listen to it. It's called The Superpower of Authentic Storytelling, and it's on YouTube. I'm going to stop now. Have a wonderful week ahead. Thank you for listening.